All the Magic in the World by Loflight 501, read by Cookie Mom 6067. Chapter 1. 3 months. 3 months. 3 months since Cesare had found Jafar. 3 months since Che had freed him. 3 months since Cesare had overdosed. 3 months since he had last gotten high. Sometimes it felt like yesterday. Other times it felt like years. Cesare still felt the itch to use. It felt like every setback in his life turned the itch into a burning under his skin. His relationship with Jafar was hardly easy, and every fight, every cruel word, made him desperate for a fix. It didn't help that there was a constant stream of drug dealers and chemists streaming in and out of the house. Cesare suspected that Jafar had forbade them from selling to him. They all seemed to avoid making eye contact with Che whenever he saw them. But Jafar had mostly taken over all the crime in Ostia, which meant that all of the high-level drug dealers reported directly to him. Of course, it was probably only his relationship with Jafar that had kept him clean for this long. Jafar's magic had made Cesare's detox easier than it had ever been before, and as frustrating as Jafar was, Cesare didn't want to disappoint him. Jafar, for all his temper, cared about Cesare. He took care of him. He touched him. After years of being touch-starved, being with Jafar was its own sort of high. Jafar touched him every day, gave him an orgasm every day, kissed him every day. And yet, Cesare still craved him when they were apart. And they were apart more than Cesare cared for. Jafar still didn't want him involved in the business. He gave Cesare little jobs. The most exciting had been when Jafar had asked him to review the security schematics for an art heist, but then he hadn't even allowed Che to go on the job. Jafar didn't even like Cesare to leave the house after dark by himself. As nice as it was that someone finally cared about Che's well-being, it was insulting that Jafar didn't want him involved in anything. It made Che feel small, stupid, and worthless. Che didn't need anyone's help to do that. They'd had fights about it, angry fights with shouts and tears, but they always ended the same way, Jafar bending Cesare over the nearest horizontal or vertical surface and Cesare forgetting why he was upset. It didn't help that Jafar was the sexiest man that Che had ever seen. When Jafar walks into the bedroom, as Che is eating breakfast, Cesare almost chokes on a piece of fruit after seeing Jafar in the slim navy suit. "Good morning, pet," Jafar murmurs, using one finger to lift Che's chin to press a hard kiss to his lips. "Good morning, Jafar," Cesare blushes. "I didn't know you were joining me for breakfast." Jafar smiles when he sits on the little couch and pulls Che into his lap. The wonderful contact of Jafar's hard body under his immediately makes all his negative thoughts evaporate. It was impossible to be unhappy when he was in Jafar's arms. Jafar picks up a tiny piece of cornetto and slips it between Cesare's lips. Che can't quite suppress the grin. This man was always looking for ways to feed him. "Today is a special day," Jafar murmurs, picking up a piece of fruit for himself. "I've been free of that lamp, and you've been free of that poison for 3 months." Cesare flushes. He didn't think Jafar had remembered. "I thought we both deserved a reward," Jafar purrs. "Oh," Che mumbles. There was a warm glow building in Cesare's core. He didn't know where this was going, but he was excited to find out. "You mentioned that you missed me when I was working all day." Cesare brightens and nods. Was today the day Jafar was finally going to let Che into his business? Would he get to sit in on Jafar's meetings? "I purposely scheduled time in between all my meetings today. I have special activities in mind throughout the day." "Oh? Oh." Cesare's face feels on fire already, and he can't hold back the smile. Cesare loses what few functioning brain cells he still has left when Jafar starts nibbling along his jaw. "Tell me, Habibi, have you eaten enough?" Cesare can't quite manage words, but he chokes out a "ugh" when Jafar starts stroking up his inner thigh. Cesare doesn't even flinch when his clothing dissolves off his skin, used to Jafar's impatience by now, but it feels heavenly to feel Jafar's touch on his bare skin. Jafar is rubbing his beard along Cesare's neck now, and the sensation is going straight to Cesare's cock. Jafar doesn't stop his rubbing, even when he stands and starts to carry him to the center of the room. It isn't until Jafar places him on the ground that he tries to concentrate. Stand, Hobie. Raise your arms. Jafar doesn't even need to use magic to get Cesare to follow his commands. Che is fully under his spell. As soon as he stretches his arms over his head, green cords start to crawl up his legs. Despite the snake-like motion, Cesare doesn't flinch. They are giving him the same warm feeling that Jafar's touch normally does. The cords tug and tighten over his body, forming intricate knots, but they don't make Che feel claustrophobic. He feels safe and secure. He feels like Jafar's. Ah, Cesare moans when the cords start to tighten over his thigh, pulling his leg up so he's balancing on one foot. He gasps, but the ropes are so secure that he barely has to work to hold himself up. I want easier access, my pet, Jafar chuckles darkly, stroking one long finger down Che's face. Cesare tries to lean into his touch, desperate for Jafar, but whimpers when the rope keeps him restrained. It's okay, Jafar purrs. I've got you. His smile is simultaneously cruel and loving, but Cesare doesn't care because Jafar reaches out to cradle his face. Cesare's brain only fogs more when Jafar magically changes his clothing, switching into a pair of red loose pants and leaving his toned and tan chest bare. You look so beautiful like this, Toby, Jafar growls, trailing a finger along the ropes binding Che's chest. I've always liked you in this color. It brings out the color of your eyes. But I think today I want to see you in my colors. Cesare gasps as the rope turns warm against his skin, and when he looks down, they've transformed into a deep red. Lovely, my pet, Jafar croons. This might be the most beautiful you've ever looked. Cesare bites his lip and shivers as the praise caresses his skin. No one had ever thought him beautiful. He was too skinny, his nose too large, the bags under his eyes too dark. But Jafar made him feel sexy. Touch me, amore, please, he begs. Jafar's hand returns, caressing his chest, until Jafar moves behind him. Cesare tenses against the ropes when Jafar's fingernails start to trail over his nipple, but he isn't trying to get away. He wants to be closer to Jafar. And then he feels slick fingers playing around the edge of his rim, and it feels like his body is vibrating in anticipation. Yes, 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 please, amore. Cesare looks over his shoulder in time to see the smoldering way Jafar is watching him. Jafar had so many walls over his emotions, but not during moments like this. Cesare never had to doubt that Jafar wanted him. And then two fingers breach him, and he has no thoughts. Jafar fills him frustratingly slowly, teasing all his nerve endings as he slowly slides his long fingers into Che. Cesare wants to push back into his touch, but the magical ropes keep him pinned in place. All he can do is let the waves of pleasure wash over him. Do you like that? Jafar growls possessively. Yes, Cesare whimpers. More. Faster. Say please, pet. Please, 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 Che moans. Jafar slides in the rest of his fingers and Cesare groans. The feeling of satisfaction only grows as Jafar starts to thrust his fingers, delivering teasing glances against Cesare's prostate. The sensation is so strong so quickly. The ropes mean that Cesare is completely at Jafar's mercy. That knowledge is almost as stimulating as the fingers sliding in and out of him. Cesare loves being at Jafar's mercy. He loves everything that Jafar gives him. Staring into Jafar's intense chocolate eyes, Cesare knows he loves Jafar. He's known for weeks. He's wanted to shout it from the rooftops, but he's afraid that Jafar won't say it back. But feeling the passion from Jafar's gaze soothes those worries. It doesn't matter if Jafar loves him. Right now, nothing matters except that Cesare is Jafar's. Fuck me, Cesare moans. Please, Jafar.
Not this time, pet, Jafar growls and speeds up his motions, landing direct blows to Cesare's prostate with each of his thrusts. You're coming on my fingers. I want to watch you. Cesare whimpers. He wanted Jafar to fuck him, but there was nothing he could do. And the way Jafar was fingering him, it wouldn't matter anyway. I'm going to come, he moans, muscles starting to shake against the ropes. Not yet, Jafar growls. His free hand grasps the base of Che's cock and squeezes while his other hand continues to torment Cesare's prostate. Che cries out uselessly and struggles against the rope. Please, Jafar. That's it, Jafar purrs. Beg me, pet. Please, 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 Cesare mumbles in delirium. The twin sensations of pleasure and frustration made him feel like he was on fire. You only get to come if I give it to you. Despite the cruel words, they felt like words of love to Cesare's overstimulated brain. You belong to me. He's struggling against the ropes again, but this time it's in desperation to be closer to Jafar. He leans his head forward, needing to be closer to his heart. I'm yours, Cesare whimpers. I'm always yours. Jafar growls possessively, and he starts rubbing directly over Cesare's overstimulated prostate. His body feels like it's on fire, torn between exquisite pleasure and absolute torture. Who do you belong to? You, amore mio, I belong to you, Cesare gasps. That's it, Hobie, Jafar growls. He dips down to lick a droplet of sweat off of Che's neck, and his tongue is like a balm against Che's overheated skin. I want you to scream my name when you come. Yes, 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 please. The hold around Cesare's cock loosens, and Jafar growls against his ear. Come for me, Cesare. Cesare screams as bright lights explode in his eyes and incredible pleasure rips through his body. It's like nothing else that Che has ever experienced. He has no power. All he can do is give himself over to Jafar and the indescribable waves of sensation coursing through him. Jafar uses magic to dissolve the ropes but catches Cesare and deposits him onto a floor cushion. Cesare still feels like he's floating and clings to Jafar like a buoy keeping him safe in a storm. Che can't talk, can't think, can only hold on weakly to Jafar and focus on the soft kisses and gentle caresses that Jafar lays against his vibrating skin. Cesare's first thought when his brain starts to function again is that he still needs to take care of Jafar. His hand feels like lead, but he clumsily reaches out to rub Jafar's erection. Jafar catches his hand and pulls it up to kiss his knuckle. No, pet, not this time, he murmurs. I have plans for the next round, and I have a meeting starting soon. Maybe you could push that meeting and start your plans now, Cesare purrs, snuggling a little closer to Jafar's chest. I wish I could cancel all my business today, but I'll be thinking about you during all of them, Jafar growls. I want you naked all day, ready for whatever I give you between my meetings. Cesare shivers and can already feel arousal blooming over his skin when he thinks about all that Jafar has planned. Maybe you can still cancel your meetings. Jafar chuckles and nips against his ear. Such a bad influence, pet. What do you have planned today? Cesare asks, his hand starting to tease Jafar's chest. Maybe I can convince you. I have a meeting with Corto to talk about the docks, my lead chemist, some street thief named Vittorio. Cesare sits up straight and faces Jafar in alarm. Vittorio? Jafar frowns and sits up as well. You know him? Remember that friend I told you about? Cesare asks. The one I grew up with. We used to pull jobs together. I had feelings for him, and we spent a night together. And then he broke your heart. Jafar completes the thought. He didn't feel the same about me. Cesare squirms uncomfortably. Jafar was both jealous and protective. He had to tread carefully. He tried to be kind about it, he rushes to explain. He tried to stay friends with me. You still broke your heart, Jafar growls, reaching over to hook his hand around the back of Che's back. Despite the rough touch, it was oddly comforting.
Yes, he broke my heart, Cesare agrees. But before that, he was my best friend. He was my family. I'd like him to be those things again.
He places a hand over Jafar's chest and smiles, especially since I'm with someone that makes me very happy. Jafar looks mildly placated, but Cesare saw the violence behind his eyes.
Please promise me that you won't turn him into a mouse, Cesare murmurs, only half-joking.
I promise, Jafar grumbles. He brightens slightly before adding, but only if you stay naked all day. Cesare brightens and moves to crawl into Jafar's lap.
I think I can do that.
Jafar had been in a wonderful mood before this meeting. He'd fucked Cesare right before, and had left his lover so pleased that he'd passed out, still leaking his seed. He'd been in a pleasant mood, fantasizing about how he might have Che suck him off next time, but Vittorio had ruined all that. He had thought that Vittorio was meeting with him to join his organization and start pulling jobs, but it seems that Vittorio did not want to take orders from him. Jafar was used to the locals feeling irritated taking orders from him. Racism was hardly a modern invention, but this had a different flavor. Despite the shiny band of gold on his ring finger, Vittorio was obviously jealous and uncomfortable with Jafar's relationship with Cesare. He'd almost immediately started making snide comments about it. Whether he had only learned about Jafar's relationship with Che recently, or had taken this meeting specifically to poke Jafar, the only reason he was still alive was because of what Cesare had asked of him. Don't kill this man. Cesare will be upset. I think it's fair to say that you would not make a good addition to our organization, Jafar growls after yet another passive-aggressive remark.
I'm not surprised, Vittorio mutters. I don't know what Cesare sees in you.
Don't kill him. Don't turn him into a mouse. Perhaps he wanted a man after trailing after a boy for so long.
Or maybe you've used your magic to keep him here against his will, Vittorio snaps.
Jafar digs his nails into the arms of his chair. He's starting to regret his promise to Che.
Don't turn him into a mouse. A mouse is too good for him.
I've killed men for lesser insults, Jafar says coldly.
You can kill me if you want, Vittorio growls through clenched teeth. He loved me first.
It hurt. For the first time in centuries, the words hurt. Because it was true. Cesare loved this man. He had admitted it to Jafar. Cesare might love Jafar, he had never said. But Cesare had loved this worm of a man first. He wants to kill Vittorio. He almost snaps his fingers to transform the man into some vile creature, but he'd promised Che. Maybe he could lash out at the man and establish his superiority at the same time.
You're right, Jafar responds magnanimously. He did love you first. I'm sorry that we won't be doing business together.
He stands and gestures toward the door. Only instead of sending Vittorio out of the house, Jafar leaves with him. In deference to your friendship with Cesare, I'll allow you to continue your little jobs as long as you stay out of Ostia. Vittorio is torn between irritation and glee. He's irritated that Jafar is allowing him to do anything, but he knows that he's gotten under Jafar's skin. Jafar can't allow that.
Here, you can leave through here, second door on the left.
Jafar is right on his heels as Vittorio passes through the door, but has the foresight to avoid running into him when Vittorio stops short.
Amore, is your meeting over so soon?
Cesare is still lying where Jafar had left him only minutes ago, naked and glorious, skin a creamy contrast to the dark sheets, whole stretched and glistening, leaving nothing to the imagination for what they had been doing before Vittorio's meeting.
"Oh, I'm sorry, I got the doors mixed up," Jafar says with an unconvincing apology. Cesare looks over his shoulder and gasps in alarm, grabbing a blanket to cover himself. "Vittorio!" Vittorio doesn't respond, just turns to leave, coming to an abrupt stop when he runs into Jafar. "He may have loved you first," Jafar purrs with a cruel smirk, "but he loves me now." He can see the anger in Vittorio's eyes. Bache's old flame is smarter than he looks. He merely inclines his head before stepping around Jafar and fleeing down the hall. "Vittorio!" Cesare calls out, hustling up to the doorway with a sheet wrapped around him. Jafar feels a flush of unfamiliar feeling when he sees the hurt in Che's eyes. He hadn't thought beyond slapping out at Vittorio, and hadn't even considered how Cesare might feel. This man had hurt Che. Shouldn't Cesare be happy to hurt him back? "What?" Cesare turns to face Jafar with teary eyes. "Why did you do that?" "What? I didn't kill him," Jafar snaps. He doesn't like the emotion that the hurt in Cesare's face is stirring in him, so he leans into anger instead. "He insulted me. He flaunted his relationship with you." "So you thought humiliating me was the way to get back at him?" "I wanted him to see that you were mine." Jafar reaches out to caress Cesare's face, but instead of leaning into it, Che flinches away. Jafar had once been whipped in his mortal life. His back had split into ribbons after he'd been caught picking the wrong pocket. But nothing had hurt as much as Cesare flinching away from him. "You knew that Vittorio was my friend, my family. You knew that I wanted to rebuild our friendship. You had to know how this would hurt me." Jafar hadn't thought about it. His brain was so caught up in striking out at Vittorio and establishing his own dominance that he hadn't even thought about how it might affect Cesare. "You are mine," Jafar roars. "He had to see that." "I'm not your pet or some kind of toy," Cesare snaps, whirling to the chest of drawers to start angrily yanking on clothing. "I'm here because I want to be. I'm here because I care about you. And I thought that you cared about me." Cesare pauses his movements when he says this last sentence. He doesn't look up, doesn't dare to check Jafar for a reaction, but he's waiting for a response. He wants Jafar to say something. Jafar wants to shout. He wants to yell that he does care about Cesare. Cesare is the only person on this earth through any century that Jafar has ever cared about. But fear chokes him into silence. Not hearing the words that he yearns for, Cesare moves to start pulling on shoes. "Where are you going?" Cesare glances up and moves to grab a jacket. "I can't stay here, Jafar. I could make you stay." Cesare's fingers freeze on the buttons of his jacket, and those wrecked eyes travel up to lock onto Jafar's. There's a storm of emotion in there, making the swirl of blue and green look dark against Cesare's pale skin. "You could," Cesare agrees. He grabs his wallet and moves to stand in front of Jafar. There are so many emotions on Che's face, but it's the hint of fear that Jafar focuses on. "Let me go, Jafar." Cesare's voice is a broken whisper that feels like a knife to Jafar's gut. His magic is vibrating under Jafar's skin as if it's screaming, "No, keep him here. He's supposed to stay. He's supposed to love you. Make him stay. Make him love you." But Jafar could never make Cesare stay. He could never make Cesare his prisoner. Cesare, who had done nothing but care for Jafar. Cesare, who didn't want jewels or money or power. Cesare had only ever wanted Jafar. Summoning what little humanity he possessed, Jafar moves to the side to let Cesare pass. Cesare is only a breath away when he pauses and looks up at Jafar. Tears are starting to spill from his eyes now, trailing down his face. "Jafar, you said something before with Vittorio. You told him..." His voice breaks on a little sob, and Jafar almost reaches out to comfort,
but clenches his fists into his pants instead. "You told him that I love you. I've been wanting to say those words to you for weeks." Jafar's breath catches and his heart fills with hope. "I was afraid of how you would react to them, and I feel so stupid now, because you've known all along. And it was so much worse than I could have imagined. You used my love as a weapon, the way you talked about it, about me. It was like you didn't even care about my love. You only cared about using it to hurt my friend." Jafar hadn't realized that he had a heart until now. But Cesare's broken words and teary eyes sent an agonizing pain into his cold heart. Cesare was right. He had known that Cesare loved him. He had taken it for granted and then used it against him at the first opportunity. "I'm sorry." He wants to say the words. Staring into those beautiful storming eyes, he can see how much Che wants those words. But Jafar has learned that kindness is weakness. So he stays silent and watches Cesare's heart break into 1,000 pieces right in front of him. "Goodbye, Jafar." He feels another surge of magic under his skin. He wants so desperately to make Cesare stay. But Jafar can't make him love him. And even if he could, that wasn't the problem. No magic in the world could erase the pain he just caused Che. All of Jafar's magic couldn't transform him into the person Cesare needed. Please note that Chapter 2 of this fic is art only. Chapter 3, Blood and Sand. Trigger warning for suicidal thoughts. Cesare staggers out of the house in a daze. His tears were so thick that it was difficult to see clearly. His chest was tight with pain and humiliation. He had known that his love was one-sided. That was the whole reason that he hadn't said the words. But he hadn't realized just how little Jafar had thought of it. Cesare was his pet. His love wasn't cherished or even appreciated. It was merely tolerated as a tool to hurt others. Jafar had taken Vittorio from him as well. He'd seen the disgust on his oldest friend's face when he'd seen Cesare. In one fell swoop, Cesare had lost the only two men that he'd ever loved. And he was alone. Again. His tears ended as quickly as they had begun. It was a depressing realization, but it made Cesare strangely numb. After all, he was used to being alone. If anything, he was more used to being alone than being in love. He was meant to be sad, worthless, and alone. This brief interlude with Jafar was nothing but a cruel dream, giving him a glimpse of happiness before snatching it away. His feet carry him away on autopilot until he finds himself on a familiar beach. Che breathes in the familiar scent of salt, sand, and piss from the dirty coast. He'd passed many nights here with Vittorio and their friends. Cesare watches the water crashing onto the shore before creeping back to sea. So many times he'd imagined the water carrying away his many problems. So many times he'd imagined the water carrying him away. He sits on the cold sand and pulls his jacket tight around himself. As he stares out at the gray water, his brain tries to decide what to do, but all he can do is watch the waves break across the shore. It would be so much easier to just crawl into the water. All of his problems would drift away if he slipped below the surface. Would he see Deborah again? His sister? He liked to think that there was no pain in heaven. His sister and niece were happy there. Maybe Cesare would be happier too. He couldn't imagine that it could be worse. Even oblivion would be a sweet reprieve from the pain that Cesare felt right now. Jafar had never really cared about him. He had torn Cesare's heart from his chest, crushed it to pieces, and then hadn't even lifted a finger to make him stay. The pathetic part was that one kind word, even the most half-hearted apology,
and Cesare would have stayed. He loved Jafar, worshipped the ground he walked on. A breeze rolls off the waters and pulls what little warmth was left in Cesare's bones. Che tries to pull the jacket even closer, but it's pointless. There was nothing but ice left in his chest. A little voice in his head whispers that he needs to stand up. He needs to find a place to sleep tonight. Maybe the hovel where he'd been living before Jafar was still abandoned. He could go back there and just pretend that these past 3 months had never happened. A movement catches Cesare's eye. It's a familiar sight, just another dealer peddling their wares. Che doesn't know this one, but he knows the type. They're all the same, and Cesare has been an addict for most of his life. Cesare was an addict. That same persistent whisper screams in his head. You work so hard to be clean. Don't give up all that you've worked for. What exactly has he worked so hard for? He's just as destitute as he was before. Was he trying to stay clean to earn Jafar's love? That had been a fool's errand. Jafar didn't care about him. Why should he work so hard to please someone that cared so little about him? Standing, he walks up to the dealer, leaving his hands where the other man could see them. Hey, Cesare says, you carrying? The dealer looks him up and down. Who the fuck are you? My name's Che, Cesare. Look, I just need a fix. The man narrows his eyes, trying to decipher if this is some sort of trick. Perhaps Cesare is a cop. More likely some junkie looking to jump him and steal his drugs. Come on, man, Cesare grumbles. I've got cash. The man must not like what he sees. He curls his lip before sneering. Fuck off. Come on, Cesare shouts. His need to forget about his life and his problems overwhelms what little self-preservation he possesses. He shoves the dealer. I don't care what you're carrying. I just need something. He sees the hit coming, but doesn't bother to dodge. His face explodes in pain. Almost instinctually, he lashes out as well, slamming his fist into the man's jaw. It's not a great hit, but it's enough to piss off the dealer. The stranger lashes out, fists flying, making contact with Che's face, stomach, ribs. When Cesare collapses to the ground, thick boots begin to stomp into his body. It's painful. An exquisite amount of pain. Almost as if all the pain in his heart is radiating through his body. It's almost preferable. It's better than the numbness that he'd been feeling before. Cesare doesn't bother to fight back when the stranger roots through his pockets to steal his wallet. What did it matter? The dealer spits on him before he leaves, and then it's just Cesare bleeding out onto the sand. He listens to the waves crashing into the shore and stares at the skyline as daylight turns to dusk. The cold is seeping back into his bones, the pain replaced by the same emptiness as before. He had nowhere to go. He had no reason to live. It's dark by the time he climbs off the sand. His feet carry him back through the familiar streets of Ostia. Jafar was in a rage. He had already destroyed and magically rebuilt his bedroom twice. He was supposed to have 2 more business meetings after Vittorio, but both had been disasters. Jafar didn't know if he had started a war or scared his subordinates into submission. He didn't really care. He wanted to kill someone. He wanted to burn the house to the ground. He wanted to find Cesare and drag him back. He wanted to tear Vittorio limb from limb. The servants had fled. He didn't blame them. They didn't deserve his murderous temper. As much as he wanted to blame Vittorio, Cesare, or a whole array of people, he knew this was his fault. He wouldn't admit it, not even to himself, but it was true. Would Cesare return? Should Jafar go after him?
Jafar stubbornly shook this off. He wasn't some sort of errand boy. He did not fetch people. If Cesare wanted to throw a fit and scurry away after a minor insult, well, maybe Jafar didn't want him. Jafar could almost believe the lie. He could almost forget the pained look in Cesare's eyes when he left. Jafar prowls the house, looking for something to do, waiting for some signal of how to proceed. He's at his wits' end, about to burn Roma to the ground to find Cesare, when he hears the door creak open. Jafar sprints toward the entryway, staggering to a halt when he sees the huddled figure of Cesare. He was dirty, covered in sand, dust, and blood. When Cesare turns away from the door, Jafar sees that his face is covered in blood, too.
Habibi, what happened to you? Jafar gasps, running toward him.
Cesare doesn't flinch away, but the cold, dead look in Che's eyes is almost worse.
I'm fine, he mumbles, attempting to step around Jafar. Let me heal you, Jafar growls, following as Che limps toward the bedroom. I'm fine, Cesare repeats, his voice monotonous and broken.
When he walks inside the bedroom, Cesare starts to peel off his jacket, but his movements are stiff and pained. Che can't quite hold back the wince when he works the coat off of his bruised arms. Jafar doesn't wait for Cesare's agreement this time, striding forward and grabbing Cesare's face. Cesare grimaces, and his torn lip releases a fresh dribble of blood. Jafar summons his magic, and the injuries marring Che's face begin to knit together, and the developing bruises begin to fade. Who did this to you? Cesare shrugs, and his slight intake of breath tells Jafar that he has more injuries to heal. He starts to pull off Cesare's shirt, and Che barely reacts. His eyes betray a flicker of pain before sliding back to that dead look that made Jafar feel cold.
Habibi, who did this to you?
Don't know, Cesare mumbles, his eyes drifting away when Jafar moves to start healing his chest. His creamy skin is a mess of bruises, and there are more than a few broken ribs that mend under his touch. Some dealer. His hands freeze.
Don't tell me that you used more of that poison, he snaps.
I didn't, Cesare murmurs, his voice barely audible above Jafar's racing heart. Jafar continues his ministrations, rubbing away the bruises and cuts, and wishing he could erase the pained look in Che's eyes just as easily.
You came back, Jafar murmurs.
With Cesare's injuries healed, he summons a wet cloth to start wiping away the blood.
I did, Cesare responds.
He's staring blankly at the wall, and the shadows under his eyes look even darker without the bruises covering his face.
I'm glad, Jafar says, a little hope brewing in his chest.
I didn't have anywhere else to go. Cesare's quiet words are like a dagger to Jafar's chest. Even worse is when Cesare steps away from Jafar. Che turns his back to him and starts to undress for bed. Cesare looks broken and frail, and Jafar realizes that he'd achieved with the death of Che's family, Vittorio's abandonment, years of drug abuse, and the cruel treatment of Stefano and his men hadn't achieved. He'd broken Cesare's spirit. He'd broken the only person Jafar had ever cared for. Cesare. Cesare looks over from where he's climbing into bed. Somehow the broken look in Cesare's eyes is worse than the tears. He wants to say something, anything, to erase that haunted look and replace it with the joy he'd seen just hours ago. But Jafar doesn't know how to say words that heal. He only knows cruel words.
Do you want something for dinner? Jafar says uselessly.
It's not the words he wants to say. It's not the words that Che wants to hear. Cesare shakes his head and slips under the sheets, turning to face away from him. Jafar stands rooted where he is. Should he go? He has business he could attend to. But right now, all Jafar wants is Cesare. He switches his clothing for a soft pair of pants before sliding under the sheets. Cesare's shoulders are stiff, much too stiff for him to be sleeping, but he doesn't acknowledge Jafar's presence. Jafar scoots closer and wraps an arm around the frail man's stomach before pressing close to his back. He tucks his face into Che's neck and tries to let the familiar scent settle him. Only Cesare doesn't melt into his arms. He doesn't sigh contentedly and snuggle in closer. He remains stiff and cold to Jafar's touch. Despite being pressed up tight together, Cesare might as well be miles away. "We'll talk in the morning, Habibi," Jafar murmurs, as if the useless promise would somehow give him the words to fix Cesare. As if he would somehow be a kinder, more loving person in the morning, instead of the vicious bastard he was tonight. "I'm glad you came back," Jafar whispers. "It's an attempt." The sweetest words, the closest thing to an apology that Jafar can manage. But Cesare doesn't respond, just continues lying like a corpse in Jafar's arms. Jafar wakes groggily. He had woken often in the night, fearful that he'd find his arms empty and Cesare gone. But Cesare was still there. His eyes were already open, staring blankly at the wall. He spared Jafar only the briefest of glances before his gaze drifted away. "Good morning," Jafar murmurs. Shifting up onto one arm, he tries to manage a smile for Cesare, but Che won't even look at him. "Did you sleep all right?"
"Yes."
The voice is weak and devoid of any emotion. Wanting to spur Che into some sort of reaction, Jafar bends forward to press their lips together. He tries for a tender kiss, hoping to breathe some sort of life into the man below him. Cesare's lips part obediently, but he doesn't kiss Jafar back. An unfamiliar emotion wells up in Jafar's chest, and it takes him a moment to recognize it as the desire to cry. He feels bereft. Was it worse to have lost Che completely, or to have this shell of a man instead? "I didn't have anywhere else to go." Cesare was here because he had nowhere else to go. Jafar had burned all his love from him. Jafar breaks the kiss and bites back the tears, forcing a smile onto his face. "What do you want to do today?" Dead eyes show just a flicker of confusion before drifting back to the wall. "You have meetings today," Cesare responds monotonously. He slips out of bed and starts to pull on clothing. "I can cancel my meetings," Jafar offers. "We could go somewhere. How about somewhere warm? A nice beach where you can get some sun." Cesare finally looks at him, truly looks at him, and Jafar can see that his sweet, delicate lover can see right through the pretense. He knows that he'll never get the words or affection that he so desperately wants.
"There's no need," Cesare sighs, his shoulders slumping. "You have meetings."
"Che," Jafar says, climbing out of bed and moving toward the wisp of a man. He reaches out to cradle Cesare's face, and the other man doesn't flinch out of his touch. "If you don't want to go somewhere, maybe you want something. New clothes? A trinket or something?" "I don't want anything," Cesare responds, hollowly. "I only want you." Jafar had taken those words for granted once. What he would give to hear them again.
"I shouldn't have done what I did yesterday," Jafar rushes out, desperation pulling the half-apology from him. "Let me make it up to you."
He waves his hands, and Cesare's simple clothing transforms into a stylish suit that Jafar had seen in a magazine. He'd chosen the navy color to highlight Che's seafoam eyes, but they only seemed to emphasize the bags under them. Cesare doesn't give any reaction, but he whispers, "Thank you, Jafar." Jafar waves his hand again, and a necklace set with an aquamarine, the same color as Che's eyes, forms around his neck. Che picks it up and stares at it, but he only looks tired. Thank you, Jafar, but you don't need to. I'm not going anywhere. I don't have anywhere else to go. The unspoken words hang loudly in the air, roaring in Jafar's brain. Go to your meetings, Cesare whispers, turning out of his touch. Left with no other options, Jafar leaves. He has an empire to run. He has enemies to smite and underlings to command. He finally had everything he wanted. He was the most powerful person in the world, the only magic wielder left alive. He had everything that he had dreamt and wished for over the past centuries. Then why was he so unhappy when he pushed open the door and sat behind his desk? It may have been polished in walnut instead of the gold throne he had coveted, but it was a throne nonetheless. He was the king that he'd finally wanted to be. He had all the power in the world. He would make Cesare love him again. Chapter 4. Better. It seemed that for all Jafar's power and magic, it was frustratingly ineffective in swaying Cesare. Cesare was still there. He slept next to Jafar. He ate his meals with Jafar, but he was a shell of who he was. He never left the house. He spent most of his days in bed, but when Jafar woke in the night, Cesare was awake and staring at the ceiling. He barely spoke anymore. He no longer asked questions about Jafar's business or his day. He answered questions that were asked directly to him, but would never say two words when one would do. Jafar missed the fire. He missed Cesare's smile. He even missed when Che would get angry and argue with him. He held Cesare in his arms every night, but he felt miles away. It didn't matter what Jafar did. He tried everything. He conjured clothing, jewels, fine art. He transported them to a white sand beach with crystal blue water that matched Che's eyes. The only time Che had shown even the slightest reaction was when Jafar had summoned a pet tiger, and that had only been to exasperatedly tell Jafar to send the creature back to its home. Worse was that Cesare barely ate. Che had been barely more than a wisp of a man when Jafar had first met him, but it was even worse now. Jafar was starting to fear that Cesare would quite literally waste away in front of him. When Jafar enters the bedroom, Cesare is sitting in a chair staring out the window. His cheekbones look so sharp in the setting sun that they might cut his pale and sallow skin. His hair is greasy, indicating that Che either hadn't had the inclination or energy to shower today. His dead eyes barely flicker over to Jafar when he enters. "Good evening, Habibi," he answers, trying to be cheerful enough for the both of them. "How was your day?" "Fine." The empty, emotionless voice churns up Jafar's insides. It was yet another reminder that Che was a walking corpse. "Have you eaten yet?" he asks, perhaps a little sharply, but fear and panic were starting to eat away at his patience. "No." "Good. We can sup together," Jafar grinds out. He waves his hand and a table appears with all of his favorite foods. He has a moment of guilt when he realizes that he doesn't actually know what Che's favorite foods were. "I'm not hungry." Cesare's whispered words ignite a familiar emotion in Jafar. Anger. What was wrong with this man? Jafar had done everything to please Che. He'd been trying. And what had Che been doing? Sleeping away the days and staring out of windows. "Enough!" Jafar roars, making Cesare recoil. "Enough with this moping. Enough with your pouting." "I'm sorry, Jafar." Cesare curls in further on himself. Shame boils up in Jafar, but he bites it away, justifying that perhaps this is what Che needs. "You are going to eat something, and then you are going to bathe. You are going to talk to me. And tomorrow you are going to leave this damned room and do something. Anything, really. I don't give a damn what you do, but you are going to be happy." Jafar is panting by the time he finishes his tirade, but there is finally some color in Che's cheeks. There's pain in his eyes, but maybe that's better than the emptiness that had been there for days.
I'm sorry, Jafar, Cesare murmurs. I'll do better.
Just be happy, Jafar mumbles, lost for words. The fight was starting to go out of him now. His false anger quickly dissipates, making him feel guilty. Now what do you want for dinner?
This is fine, Cesare answers.
He stands and moves to sit at the table, looking obedient and broken. It kills Jafar, but he keeps the smile on his face as he sits next to Cesare. Cesare eats what Jafar puts in front of him, answers questions that Jafar asks. He even manages to ask a few himself, but the conversation is stilted and awkward. Cesare's voice is monotonous, like he's reading from a script. Jafar will take it if it means that Cesare is finally eating. Every bite looks like it is a struggle. Jafar can see the obvious effort it takes for Cesare to even lift his fork. Cesare has to force himself to eat each bite, but he manages. Cesare manages to eat almost as much food as he's eaten the past week combined. It's still not as much as Jafar would like, but he feels relieved nonetheless. At least Cesare wouldn't starve any time soon.
Have I eaten enough? Cesare asks when his plate is clean.
Are you still hungry? Do you want some dessert? Lemon cakes? Those were always my favorite.
I'm not hungry, Che responds, folding his hands in his lap. I can bathe now if you like.
Jafar wants to scream. He wants to throw dishes against the wall in rage. What do you want? What will make you happy? What will fix you? Just tell me what you want. But he knows that will only worsen the broken look on Cesare's face.
Do you want me to bathe with you? He says instead, a tinge of hope in his words.
Cesare doesn't answer for long enough for Jafar's heart to start to break, but then Che's head gives a little nod, and Jafar's heart soars. His smile is true for the first time in weeks when he pulls Che to his feet. He leads Cesare into the bathroom with new optimism. Perhaps Jafar's outburst of anger had broken the spell on Cesare's mind. Perhaps this was the first step toward rebuilding their relationship.
Maybe tomorrow you want to go shopping. I think it was past time that we redecorated the house, Jafar chatters happily while he fills up the tub with warm water.
Or maybe you want to do something. Watch a play? A game? What is that game that you like?
When Cesare doesn't answer right away, Jafar turns to him.
Cesare, what is that game you like?
Football, Che responds after thinking for a moment.
Maybe you'll want to go watch a game, Jafar asks. He stands and starts to undress.
Cesare mimics his movements, pulling his clothes off and revealing his bony frame.
Jafar gulps. He'd seen glimpses of Che's body, but he hadn't seen just how gaunt Che had become in just over a week. He still musters a smile.
Cesare was feeling better. He'd start eating again. He'd regain the weight he'd lost.
It's not the right season for a football game.
Cesare's words snap Jafar out of his thoughts.
That's too bad, he murmurs.
When it's the right season, you'll have to bring me to a game.
Yes, Cesare murmurs. He pushes down his briefs and stands nude in front of Jafar for the first time in what feels like centuries. Jafar's long imprisonment had done nothing to prepare him for his estrangement from Cesare.
Jafar reaches out, and Cesare takes it, following him to sit in the tub. Part of Jafar's heart aches to feel the sharp points of Che's bones, but he's too happy having Cesare in his arms. Cesare is warm and wet, nestled between Jafar's legs and tucked safely under his chin. He starts massaging soap into Cesare's hair. He loved to complain about this time period, but even he had to admit that this era had much better toiletries than his own. They even had different types of soap for different types of hair. He'd chosen this one for Che's hair. He was partial to its jasmine scent and the way it made the tresses soft and silky.
He's careful to avoid getting soap into Che's face when he rinses it clean, then places a kiss at the base of his neck. Cesare shivers, and it isn't because of steamy water. Jafar soaps up a cloth and starts to clean Cesare's skin while he kisses and mouths against his neck and skin. The cloth skims over Cesare's skin, wiping away dirt and sweat. Jafar's hand dips into hollows and along muscles. There was more bone than muscle, but Cesare will gain the weight back. Jafar could still feel the strength under his hand. He's almost in trance with just touching Che, but when his hand dips below the surface of the water, he finds proof that Cesare is not ambivalent to his ministrations. Jafar strokes the cloth up the length of Cesare's hard cock right as he sucks a bite into Cesare's shoulder. He groans. It feels so good to have Che in his arms again. "I missed you, my pet," he moans, abandoning the cloth to take Che in hand. He strokes Che, coaxing him to full hardness. The familiar weight makes Jafar feel crazy. It had been so long since he'd taken Cesare. Mad with lust, he starts to rut against Che's ass while he strokes him faster and faster. His free arm tightens around Che's chest and shifts him higher onto his lap. He keeps stroking Che while his other hand glides down. He dips a fingertip in, desperate to feel the tight squeeze again. But then he looks up, and Cesare, sweet Cesare, is staring off into the distance again. He doesn't look happy or even passionate. He looks sad and upset. He isn't reveling in Jafar's touch. He's enduring it. Jafar releases him immediately. Despite the warm water, he feels ice cold and sick. "Why did you stop?" Cesare asks, no passion or life in his voice. "Did you really want me to continue?" Jafar snaps. "It's fine." "Fine." The single word enrages Jafar. Jafar could have anyone in the world. He didn't need someone to tolerate him. He slides out from behind Cesare and climbs out of the tub. "Were you just going to let me fuck you, Cesare?" Cesare pulls his knobby knees up and huddles in the bath. "It was fine. We haven't in a while." "You aren't my bed slave. You don't have to fuck me for a roof over your head." "I'm sorry," Cesare says. His voice breaks and tears start to fall down his face. "I'll do better." Cesare is shivering, and the broken movement stifles Jafar's temper. Reaching down, he pulls Cesare out of the tub, wrapping him in a fluffy towel. "I don't know why you're here if you're so repulsed by me," Jafar growls, patting him down like a child. Cesare's voice catches, but Jafar continues his grumbling. "Oh, I know. You have nowhere else to go." "Well, fuck, if you don't want to be here, I'll give you money to go somewhere else." "It's not the money," Cesare sobs. "I have nothing. What life do I have? I'm your pet. I have nothing to do. No real purpose. And if I leave, I have even less. Everyone sees me as your whore. It's not like I have friends or work if I left. I have no one but you. And I don't even have you. I should have died in that slum. You never should have given me hope." "Hush now," Jafar growls, but with a pain in his heart. "Don't say that. You have me. I'm right here." Cesare's tears stop, and he just looks exhausted when his eyes meet Jafar's. "I'm your pet. You don't really care about me. I understand that now." "Do not tell me how I feel about you," Jafar snaps. Cesare doesn't flinch this time, but nods in resignation. As he slides out of Jafar's grip, he whispers, "I'll do better. I'm sorry." "I don't want you to be sorry. I want you to be happy," Jafar growls. "I'll do better," Cesare murmurs as he leaves. Jafar's chest heaves once he's alone. Nothing was working. Cesare wasn't happy, and Jafar couldn't make him happy. And yet, Cesare was truly alone. Jafar's actions had made Cesare a prisoner, free to leave, but nowhere to go. He manifests clothing and storms out of the bathroom. He ignores Cesare's questioning stare as he continues striding through the room, down the hallway, and out of the house. Cesare tries to call out to Jafar's departing back, but his words get stuck in his throat. He'd ruined everything again. For one glorious moment, Jafar had been touching him, and everything was wonderful again. For one glorious moment, Cesare could pretend that Jafar loved him, and then Jafar had called him pet, and reality had come crashing back. He had tried to ignore it. He had tried to enjoy it again. He had wanted to, but his traitorous brain wouldn't let him. It was the same way that he wanted to be happy. He wanted to be content with his life. It was better than it was, right? He had food. He had a warm place to sleep. Jafar treated him well. Why wasn't he happy? Why couldn't he just be happy with how things were? What was wrong with him? But telling him that he should be happy and that he had no real reason to feel so sad didn't make him feel any better. If anything, it made him feel worse. He felt stupid and petty. Jafar was trying so hard. He didn't even love Cesare, and he was still trying to make him feel better. But it just made him feel hollow. Jafar had already done so much for him, and all he had to show for it was a whiny, moping pet. He'd do better. He'd be better. Jafar deserved better. Chapter 5. Amends. A quick call to one of his minions had given Jafar the address. The apartment building was only a few blocks away. Jafar had maybe a moment's hesitation as he climbed the stairs of the decrepit building, but fury urges him forward. "You," he snarls as soon as the door opens. But it's a little boy and not the fucker he was looking for. "Is your dad home?" "My dad's dead," the boy answers, eyeing Jafar in suspicion. "Tommaso, who is it?" Vittorio comes to the door and protectively moves in front of his son. Jafar bristles. He didn't kill children. There was no reason for Vittorio to be eyeing him this way. "Tommaso, go to your room." There's derision in Vittorio's face, but also a fear that hadn't been there the other day. He's much less cocky with his family there. "What do you want?" he asks. The unfounded alarm makes Jafar furious, and he points a finger at Vittorio. "You are coming with me." Vittorio wants to fight, but he looks behind himself to where his family is. He looks sorrowful before he steps out and closes the door. "Oh, don't look so dramatic," Jafar snaps. "I'm not going to kill you." "Then what exactly do you want with me?" Vittorio asks. "You're going to fix what you broke," Jafar growls, stepping so close that his finger is almost touching Vittorio. "You are going to talk to Cesare and apologize to him." "Me?" Vittorio says with a raised eyebrow. "Have you tried apologizing to him yourself?" Jafar squirms. He knows his half-hearted apology was far from sufficient, but it was easier to snap at Vittorio. "That is none of your concern," he growls. The lights in the hallway were beginning to flicker, a side effect of Jafar's anger. "Cesare loves you. You're his family, damn it. I don't give a flying fuck what happened between you. You're his friend, aren't you?" An emotion that Jafar had recently become very familiar with clouds Vittorio's face. Shame. He nods and steps forward. "What's wrong with him?" he asks. It's a simple question, and yet one for which Jafar can't really answer. How did he describe to his enemy how he had broken the one good person in the world? How did he put into words the broken and beaten creature that he transformed the love of his life into? He almost gasps when the realization hits him. Of all the shitty times for him to realize that he loved Cesare.
Is Che all right? Vittorio asks, unnerved by Jafar's silence.
He's sad, Jafar responds awkwardly.
Sad?
Jafar wants to smack the confused look off of Vittorio's face, but knows that his own explanation was lacking. He barely eats. He spends all day in bed, but he barely sleeps. He's empty. Jafar lets out a breath in frustration and turns away. He starts pacing while he rants. I've tried everything, but he's just broken.
If your toy is broken, why don't you let him go?
Do you think I'm holding him prisoner? Jafar growls as he whirls to face Vittorio.
I've told him that I'd give him money if he wants to leave. I'll give him anything if he doesn't want to be with me. He said that he has nothing to go to. He has no friends, no family. You are the only person he had left.
If he wants to leave, Vittorio asks carefully, you'll let him?
Jafar throws up his hands in exasperation. If he wishes it, I'll give him a palace, servants, as much money as he wants. If he wants it, I'll never talk to him again.
His voice breaks a little on his final words. The idea of never speaking to Cesare again was heartbreaking.
Some people told me that you were holding him hostage. I heard that you were using your position and drugs to take advantage of him.
You wouldn't be the first, Vittorio adds, crossing his arms in discomfort at the thought.
Che hasn't taken any drugs for over 3 months, Jafar says with a little smile.
At least that was one thing he had done right. Cesare was still free from the poison that held him prisoner for so long.
Vittorio's eyebrows shoot up in surprise.
I think the last time Che had been clean for that long, he was still in primary school.
He scrubs his hands over his face before he responds.
I'm sorry for believing the rumors, but Cesare,
you wouldn't be the first one to hurt him. He's had a difficult life.
Jafar nods. He knew a little about Che's life before they had met, and it hadn't been pleasant.
I don't know how to fix him, he whispers.
I don't know that I'll be much help, Vittorio mutters. He and I, things are complicated between us.
I don't give a shit, Jafar responds.
I'm desperate at this point. He doesn't say it, of course. He still hated this bastard, and he wasn't going to admit such vulnerabilities to his rival.
You're going to talk to him.
Vittorio nods and pushes off from the wall. They fall into an uncomfortable silence as they move toward the street.
You care about him, don't you?
Jafar bristles. That's none of your business.
Vittorio sighs in irritation, and even in the dim light of the street, Jafar can see his jaw clench.
If you do, you should tell him. He thinks he's incapable of being loved.
As soon as the words were out of Vittorio's mouth, he knew they were true.
Cesare should be loved and cherished, but he'd been mistreated at every turn instead.
You think that if I tell him I love him, he'll magically be fixed?
You're the sorcerer, not me, Vittorio retorts, but he deflates under Jafar's cold stare.
Maybe he needs some help. He should talk to someone.
That's why I'm bringing you there, to talk to him.
No, Vittorio says, like a professional.
Like a prostitute? Jafar says, utterly confused by Vittorio's suggestion.
Vittorio stops in the street to gawk at Jafar. What the hell is wrong with you?
No, I mean a therapist.
What the hell is a therapist? Jafar snaps.
They hadn't had these professional talkers back in his day. Vittorio rubs his brow in obvious frustration before he continues walking.
Therapists are professionals that help people with their problems, like addiction or depression. It sounds like it would help Che to talk to someone like that.
Jafar pauses. He remembers the men that would treat the spirit and heart as well as the body.
Cesare isn't insane, he retorts instinctually.
You don't have to be insane to talk to a therapist, Vittorio mutters.
Look, I'm not entirely comfortable with therapy and feelings and stuff, but my wife has gone. She's taken Tommasino to go to one. It's helped.
Vittorio throws up his hands in irritation.
Oh, I don't know, Jafar. You said you tried everything. Cesare's been troubled since he was a kid. Talking to someone has to be healthier than him doing drugs to numb the pain.
Jafar doesn't respond. He remembered the physicians of his time. They spoke of imbalances of bile and prescribed baths. Perhaps the physicians of this era had new science that could help Cesare. Jafar's discomfort grows as they near the house. He was delivering Cesare's first love back to him minutes after realizing that he was in love with him. Vittorio may be happily married, but how could anyone give up Cesare? And would Cesare still want him if he reconciled with his friend? It pains him. But for the first time in his life, he makes the unselfish decision.
He's in the bedroom. I'm sure you remember the way, Jafar murmurs as he opens the front door.
Vittorio groans.
You don't learn, do you? Go tell him I'm here. Don't just have me ambush him.
Jafar snarls, but Vittorio had saved him from yet another misstep. He really had to get better at this. Cesare isn't sleeping. He never really sleeps. He's tired all the time, and yet can never seem to actually drift off to sweet oblivion. He wants to feel happy that Jafar is back, but can't seem to muster up the effort.
Cesare, are you awake?
There's no use pretending. So Cesare turns away from the wall. When Jafar doesn't join him, he just stands stiffly against the door. Chase sits against the headboard.
I'm awake.
Good, Jafar nods. Cesare's brain is a little fuzzy, but Jafar looks nervous. Awkward?
I'm sorry about before.
Cesare tries to sound optimistic, but his voice comes out as a mumble.
I'll do better.
Jafar holds up a hand. Stop. Don't apologize.
Look.
He shuffles awkwardly and glances toward the door.
Vittorio is here.
But before you talk to him, there's something I need to say.
Vittorio is here?
Cesare yelps in shock. He sits up a little straighter.
Why the hell was Vittorio here? Did you call him? Did you bring him here?
Yes, but that's not important, Jafar mutters.
Why is he here?
Jafar growls and crosses his arms, obviously uncomfortable.
He wants to make amends, but I need to talk to you first.
But why did... I love you, Jafar rushes out. Cesare blinks slowly. He must have misheard him.
What?
I love you, Jafar repeats, looking grumpy and sullen, with crossed arms as he stares Cesare down. Thankfully, Jafar's temper doesn't faze Cesare because his brain is still in shock.
I'm sorry, what?
I said, Jafar repeats, slower but with marked irritation, I love you.
You love me?
Cesare asks, his face screwed up in confusion.
Why is this so difficult to understand? Jafar roars.
Cesare would have flinched, but his brain was too busy trying to understand Jafar to be afraid of him.
You don't love me,
Cesare finally says.
I do love you, damn it,
Jafar snaps. His brain can't even feel happy for one instant. He shakes his head. Jafar didn't love him. He was just trying to make Cesare feel better. It was almost worse.
You just feel bad for me,
Cesare mumbles. He tries to turn his face away before Jafar can see the tears. Jafar sits on the bed and grasps his face in both hands. "I love you, Cesare," Jafar growls. "I love you. I may be shit at it, but I love you. That's why I went and collected that scum Vittorio."
"I don't understand."
Jafar's hands move back to cradle the nape of Cesare's neck. "I love you," he repeats. "I'm going to do whatever is needed to fix you. That's why I brought your cursed friend here, so you can fix your friendship. I also think you should see a heart doctor." This breaks through the fog clouding Che's brain enough for him to screw up his face in confusion.
"A cardiologist?" he asks.
Jafar releases his hold on Cesare and looks away thoughtfully, pursing his lips.
"No, that's not the word Vittorio used. The doctor that you talk to when you feel sad, they fix your heart and soul."
Realization sinks in slowly. It was a poetic way to talk about fixing a crazy person. "I'm not crazy," he mutters, fingers digging into the blankets over his lap while shame fills his belly.
"No, Habibi," Jafar strokes his cheek tenderly. "You aren't crazy, but I don't know how to help you. Can you think of some way for me to make you feel better? Say the word and I'll do it. I want you to smile again. I want you to really smile."
Tears spill out of Cesare's eyes when Jafar leans forward to kiss his forehead. He wanted to smile, too. He wants to feel happy, too.
"All right, I'll go,"
Cesare murmurs, wiping the tears from his face. "And I'll speak with Vittorio." Jafar's face darkens almost momentarily before he gives Che a tight smile. He presses his lips hard to Cesare. It's not a tender kiss, more like marking his territory, but it's oddly settling.
"Just remember when you meet with that bastard," Jafar murmurs when they part, "that I love you and that I'm much better in bed than Vittorio. I'm also better looking."
For the first time in days, the corners of Cesare's lips quirk up in a smile.
"Yes, amore."
Jafar places one more firm kiss onto Che's lips before leaving. Only a few seconds later, Vittorio's sheepish form enters the room. He's uncomfortable, and Cesare feels a pang of sadness. This used to be his best friend, his brother, until Cesare ruined it. He'd loved Vittorio, had dreamt of being with him countless times, but wished now that he could have taken it all back.
"Jafar's an interesting sort," Vittorio says awkwardly, staring around the room instead of at Che.
Cesare feels like an invalid sitting in bed, so he crawls out to stand just as awkwardly opposite Vittorio.
"Well, he's a sorcerer who's been locked in a lamp for a few centuries," Cesare mumbles. "Of course he's a bit interesting."
Vittorio snorts, and the tiny familiar sound makes Cesare relax fractionally.
"He's protective of you," Vittorio says. "I guess that's a good thing."
"He is," Cesare nods. "He doesn't always do the right thing, but he does care about me."
"I see that," Vittorio mumbles. "I still don't like him."
Cesare almost laughs. "I'm not surprised. He doesn't really like you either." Vittorio snorts again and finally looks at Cesare. It stirs something in Cesare. At one point in his life, he loved Vittorio. His only thoughts had been of kissing Vittorio, touching him, loving him. But now he just felt a kind of grief for his friend.
"Jafar mentioned that you haven't been well."
It's Cesare's turn to snort, a short, sarcastic one. Oh, why did Cesare only seem to fall in love with difficult men?
"That's a funny way to describe it," he mutters. "I don't know what's wrong with me."
"You've been like this before," Vittorio responds. "This was normally when you tried to score some uppers. I'm glad to hear you're clean now."
Cesare shrugs. It's hard to feel proud right now. He wanted to use.
It was only exhaustion that kept him from going out to try to find a dealer. That, and he didn't want to disappoint Jafar. He was already so disappointing. Jafar seemed to think that us talking might help, Vittorio adds. I don't know why he'd think that, Cesare retorts, squirming all the way. Vittorio walks a little closer, green eyes full of earnest emotion. I'm sorry for disappearing after everything. I said that I wanted to be friends. I meant it. I know, Cesare says almost immediately. We're friends. It's okay. I want us to be friends again. I'd like us to be family again. You're just saying that because Jafar made you, Cesare whispers. I showed up that day to meet with Jafar because I'd heard that he was holding you captive. I had heard that he had used either magic or drugs to keep you here, under his control. Cesare squirms. The rumor didn't surprise him. Jafar was hated, and Ostia was hardly welcoming to gay men. Of course they'd twist what he had with Jafar into something foul. He isn't, Cesare murmurs. He wraps his arms protectively around his waist. He rescued me. I would have OD'd without him, and he cares about me. I'm glad he was there for you when I wasn't. You have your family to take care of, Cesare says. It wasn't right that Vittorio was beating himself up so much. Cesare was a fuck-up. He always has been. You're my family, too, Vittorio counters. I thought that since I couldn't love you the way you loved me, that I couldn't love you at all. I was wrong. You're my brother. I'll always love you. Cesare tries to hold back the tears, but it was a losing battle. Just an hour ago, no one loved him, and now all these people were suddenly professing their love. You're as bad as Jafar, Cesare whimpers. Telling me you love me just because I'm sad and pathetic.
You may feel sad, but you aren't pathetic, Vittorio urges, and something tells me that Jafar wouldn't tell you that he loved you, unless he really did. That man isn't exactly a kind person.
Cesare smiles a little. You'd be surprised, but yes, kindness doesn't come easy to him. Can we be friends again? It's an easy answer to give. Cesare dips his head in a shaky nod. I'd like us to be family again.
I'd like that too, Vittorio says with a smile. Even if it means I have to see more of the obnoxious sorcerer again.
Cesare chuckles. Something tells me you two might find that you have more in common than you think. Vittorio groans, but it's an amused sort of groan. I'll check in on you tomorrow. You should talk to your boyfriend. He's not my boyfriend, Cesare says with a smile to Vittorio's back. Jafar was so much more than a boyfriend. Cesare feels oddly shaken when Vittorio leaves. It was like he'd been holding in his breath for so long, and the oxygen was disorienting. His mind was spinning with the many emotional twists and turns that the evening had taken. His body felt wrung out and exhausted. But then Jafar walks in, and his world slowly rights itself. Jafar watches him warily, as if waiting to see if Cesare will explode in anger or dissolve into tears.
It's understandable. Cesare was still such a mess.
Turning to the bed, Cesare sits on the edge and tries to muster a smile for Jafar.
Thank you for bringing him here, he murmurs. I'll go see the therapist.
Jafar snaps his fingers. That's the word. Right. Well, if it will help, I'll get you all the therapists you want. Cesare smiles. Jafar didn't really understand the concept behind a therapist. Just one will do, Cesare responds. Jafar nods and glances about the room uncomfortably. Do you want to go to bed? He asks. It's been a long night.
Yes, amore, Cesare murmurs. Let's go to bed.
Jafar undresses in silence and then slides into bed. There's an awkward moment when they're both in bed until Cesare scoots a little closer. It's all the invitation Jafar needs. He wraps his arms tight around Cesare and tucks his chin against Che's neck. Cesare doesn't feel happy. He doesn't feel fixed, but he feels settled. It feels like the ice that had taken up residence in his heart is slowly starting to thaw.
Jafar?
Yes, Habibi.
Can you say it again?
Jafar doesn't speak right away, but he quickly deciphers Che's request. His lips curve against the nape of Che's neck before he places a gentle kiss. I love you, Cesare.
Chapter 6. We're All a Little Messed Up.
Cesare was starting to panic again. The longer they were in the car, the more his stomach tried to turn. It didn't help that Jafar looked so calm and collected again.
I'm not sure why you had to come, he mutters, tapping his fingers against his knee. He couldn't seem to keep still.
Jafar shrugs. Me neither, but they asked, so here I am.
You've already done so much.
Stop that, Jafar commands. I said I would do whatever. Attending this little consultation really isn't all that much.
I'm the one that's fucked up.
I'm the one that's crazy. Jafar leans over and grabs his face. You are not fucked up, and if there is something that can be done to help you, I will do it.
Because you love me?
Jafar smiles and nods. Because I love you. Cesare hadn't been able to say the words back. They felt like bad luck. It felt like he was tempting fate to say them again. He still couldn't believe that Jafar loved him, but hearing the words helped to steady him. He wanted to believe Jafar. Jafar squeezes his hand when the car stops. Leaning over, Jafar presses his lips to Cesare's. Not a sexy kiss, not even a claiming one, just a loving one. A non-verbal demonstration that he cares for Che. It gives Cesare the strength to climb out of the car and enter the building. The first thing that strikes Che is the warmth of the facility. He was expecting stark white, something akin to a sterile doctor's office, but this room was awash in warm colors, with a soothing peppermint scent and colorful paintings on the wall.
Cesare? Jafar?
They turn toward the open door, and Cesare receives his next shock of surprise. The man standing there could be a relative of Jafar. He's almost as handsome, albeit with longer hair and a thicker beard. This man's eyes shine with a warmth that Che rarely sees on Jafar.
Yes, I am Jafar. This is Cesare.
It's nice to meet you. My name is Joe Alcazani, he responds, reaching out to shake their hands. When another man joins them, he gestures. And this is my partner, Nikki DeGeneva.
It's nice to meet you both.
Nikki looks vaguely familiar, but his smile is just as warm as his partner.
Please come in.
Thank you for coming in, Joe says, leading them into an office. When I spoke to Cesare over the phone, I thought it was best that you both come in for this initial consultation.
I was a little surprised when you asked Jafar to come too. Cesare mutters. I'm the one that's messed up.
Both therapists smile kindly as they all sit down.
Cesare, we're all a little messed up, Joe jokes. But I'm going to warn you now, I don't want you to talk poorly about yourself, and I'll call you out on it while you're in my office. We all struggle with problems and difficulties, but that doesn't lessen us in any way.
Joe continues. Cesare, from our brief conversation and the questionnaire that you filled out, I'm very impressed with everything you've survived and endured, but that's not what life is supposed to be. It isn't supposed to just be about survival.
Based on what you shared with Joe, Nikki adds, it seemed like an addition to your personal struggles. You've also had some difficulty in your relationship. It's understandable that relationship struggles would exacerbate personal ones.
He's a good man, Cesare mumbles. He shouldn't be punished because I'm fucked up.
I really hope that you don't think coming here to see us is a punishment, Joe says with a cheery grin.
Leaning over, Joe grasps Nikki's hand. My husband and I have gone to couples counseling more than once in our relationship. There's nothing wrong with it. In fact, I would go so far as to say it's the key to a healthy relationship. Nikki gives his husband a fond smile before leaning forward in earnest.
Here at the Old Heart, we take a holistic approach to therapy. Based on what you shared, we recommend that Cesare meets with Joe for individual therapy, and then I would be your couples therapist. And Jafar, if you feel the need for individual therapy, we have another therapist in our practice that could take you on as a patient.
Cesare holds his breath while he waits for Jafar. Surely he'd be insulted by the insinuation that he was crazy.
Thank you, Jafar says, voice tight with discomfort.
If it helps Cesare, I will attend this couple's therapy, and you understand the uniqueness of our relationship. Joe smiles. As you can see, we have no problem with gay relationships. As for the other matter, he shares an enigmatic smile with his partner. You'd be surprised by the wide variety of relationships that we've encountered during our time. Don't worry about that. Although we will make the rule that you aren't allowed to use magic during our sessions. Jafar snorts lightly, but doesn't argue. I think we should start with weekly sessions, Nikki continues. And one thing that I want to make clear. Joe and I will not be collaborating. Cesare, you should feel free to be completely honest with Joe, without worrying that he'll tell me your secrets over dinner. Cesare, Jafar, Joe says, leaning forward to address them, everything that we've seen has demonstrated two people that love each other dearly. But everyone needs a little help. We want to help you both through this time and equip you with the skills and tools that you need to be happy as individuals and a couple. What do we do now? Jafar asks. We can go ahead and schedule your initial appointments, Nikki offers. In the meantime, are you both familiar with self-care? Couples therapy, individual therapy, and really any therapy can be draining emotionally, physically, mentally. I want you both to make plans to do something fun on each day that you have a therapy session, starting with tonight. Go see a movie, have a nice meal, take a warm bath, do something for yourself. Jafar glances over, and there is just a flicker of warmth there. We can do that, he answers. Wonderful, Joe beams. Cesare, I have an opening the day after tomorrow. I'm looking forward to getting to know you better. Thank you, Joe, Cesare murmurs. I'll see you then. Have fun tonight, you two, Joe says with a wink. Don't stress out. Relax and enjoy each other's company. Cesare smiles authentically. Relaxing wasn't exactly easy for him, but he always enjoyed Jafar's company. It was a little strange. They hadn't even had their first official appointment yet, but he felt a hint of something that he hadn't felt in days. Hope. He wasn't fixed yet, but he walked out of that appointment feeling a little lighter. Jafar had almost burst into sarcastic laughter when Nikki had mentioned baths. It was a little too close to the nonsense that the men of his time had peddled. Jafar instinctually wanted to brush off the rest of what the men had said as nonsense, but these strange men had inspired reluctant confidence. They seemed unflappable, enough that Jafar was thinking that he might not be the last magic wielder left on this earth. Cesare had seemed a little more relaxed when they'd left the offices. His smile still had some tension around the edges, but at least it was authentic. He wasn't just trying to force a smile for Jafar. When Jafar had asked him what he wanted to do tonight, he hadn't just shrugged and said they could do whatever Jafar wanted. He'd asked to go to his favorite restaurant, a homey little trattoria that he'd been going to since he was a boy. And he hadn't asked to go directly home. He'd asked to go on a walk. Cesare had even slipped his arm through Jafar's as they walked. I spent a lot of time coming here when I was growing up, Cesare murmurs when they reach the beach. I'm not surprised, Jafar says, stroking a finger down Che's arm. It's kind of beautiful down here. It's not just that, Che responds, sparing a glance toward Jafar. I used to come here when I felt sad. I could imagine the waves taking away all of my problems. Sometimes I would think about just walking into the water and
just let it take me away, too.
Oh, Habibi, Jafar turns to him and cradles his face. I'm sorry you felt that way.
I never felt happy, and even worse, I didn't see myself ever being happy in the future,
Cesare explains.
I didn't feel like there was anything that I could hope for. I had no skills, no talent, no options. There was nothing except the next job, the next fix.
And then Jafar had even taken that away from him. And now? How do you feel now?
I think I see something to hope for, Cesare says tentatively.
Jafar smiles and leans forward to press his lips to Che's. You give me hope, too. I never really thought beyond creating an empire. All I cared about was being the most powerful person. You make me care about more.
Looking out over the water, he thought about how silly he used to be. Power, money, fealty. Jafar thought those would be enough. He wouldn't need anything as simple as love.
He wouldn't go as far as to say that he'd give it all up for Che, but Jafar's priorities have certainly changed. His future was Cesare.
Does this place make you feel sad? Jafar asks, studying Cesare's face as it looks at the dark water.
A little.
Then let's go home, Habibi, Jafar urges, pressing a kiss to his temple.
I have a different idea. Turning to Jafar, Cesare's smile looks a little nervous, but there is excitement sparkling in his eyes.
I used to come here in my lowest moments. Let's make a happier moment.
Oh? Jafar asks. Cesare is already pulling him towards the waves.
Are you sure? Are you ready?
Nodding, Cesare starts to pull off his clothing.
I'm a little nervous, he admits, but I love you. I want to be with you.
Jafar almost bursts into tears. Cesare hadn't said the words since their fight, and he hadn't realized just how much he needed them. Despite his ability to hold back tears, his voice is still a croak when he responds.
I love you too.
He strips off his clothes eagerly and sprints after Cesare into the water. It's cold, but Jafar barely even notices. He's filled with a warmth, a burning for his lover. When they reach knee level, he grabs Cesare, lifting until Che wraps his legs around him. Carrying him deeper, he kisses Che reverently. It's the first time that he's tasted real passion from Cesare since Jafar almost ruined everything. Like a starving man eating for the first time in days, he devours Cesare's mouth, swallowing moans and breathy sighs. By the time they're chest deep, Jafar is almost desperate for Che.
I love you, Jafar moans between frantic kisses. I missed you so fucking much, Che.
I missed you too, Cesare responds, grinding against Jafar.
Make love to me. Fuck me, amore.
The water makes it easy for Jafar to lift him higher, easy for him to dip a finger into Che. Just as warm, just as tight, just as right as he remembered. He switches to kissing against Cesare's neck while he plunges his finger in over and over.
No one's ever touched me the way you do, Cesare whimpers, clinging tight to Jafar.
No one's ever loved me like you do. No one's ever loved me either, Jafar admits, slipping in another digit while he sucks a bite into Che's shoulder. You're the only person I've ever had. Arching back to look down on him, eyes sparkling in the moonlight, Cesare whimpers,
You're my whole world.
You're mine, too, Jafar admits. He's finally unashamed to admit it. He'd spent years imprisoned in a bottle, but maybe Cesare was the universe's way of trying to make up for it.
Make love to me, amore,
Cesare asks, tenderly stroking a hand down Jafar's cheek. Jafar tightens his arm around Cesare, lifting him until he can guide his cock into Cesare's tight hole. For one magical moment, time stops, and the world turns silent. He doesn't notice the water splashing around them or the distant noise of the city. It's only Jafar and Cesare sharing breath as Jafar slides into heaven. It's only the sounds of his lover crying out in ecstasy and the feel of sweet pleasure around his cock. Jafar had missed this. For all their failings as a couple, this had never been their problem. They never had problems communicating during sex. Jafar heard every one of Che's moans, noticed his every tremble, saw every dewdrop of sweat. Catching one of those drops with his tongue, Jafar traces the flexing muscle of Che's neck while his hands tighten on his ass. He speeds up his movement. It's not as slick as it would be with real lube, but the sheer joy of being one with his love makes it perfect. "You're magnificent," Jafar moans, adding a little snap to his thrusts. "You're mine, Cesare." "And you're mine," Cesare whimpers. Jafar wraps a hand around Che's cock and looks up into his twinkling eyes. "And I'm yours, Che." Tears spill out of those eyes, whether from the earth-shattering orgasm or Jafar's heartfelt words he doesn't know. But that magnificent view of Cesare in all his glory and the amazing feeling of his ass squeezing Jafar's cock tips Jafar into his own orgasm. He roars. He might even cry a little, not that he would admit it, but his world writes again. There's nothing more natural in this world than making love to Cesare, and the part of himself that he's less than proud of settles knowing that he's marked up Cesare again. Cesare is his, and he's Cesare's. "I love you, Jafar." Cesare sniffles a little, but his arms are wrapped tight around him. "I love you too, Habibi," Jafar says. "I think this is a wonderful little self-care tradition for our therapy days," Cesare says with a watery smile. "Do you think Joe and Nikki would approve?" Jafar jokes. Cesare giggles, and it's a lovely sound, a reminder that the love of his life was still there. He still needed healing, but all was not lost. When Cesare shivers when Jafar pulls out, he tightens his grip. "Are you cold, Habibi?" Cesare laughs again. "Yes, we should probably go collect our stuff and head home." "No need," Jafar says with a wink. Jafar's magic is already making the air fizzle, a side effect of his recent earth-shattering orgasm and lightened mood. It's almost no effort to summon it and transport them away from the beach and back to their home. Cesare gasps as they crash into their soft bed. "Amore, sometimes I forget how powerful you are," he murmurs. Jafar strokes a finger down his cheek, taking time to finger the little birthmark that he loved. "Does that frighten you?" "Never," Cesare says with a smile. "You like to grumble, but you love me. You might say the wrong thing from time to time, but you'd never hurt me." Cesare's trust was a staggering gift, and Jafar made a mental note to never take it for granted again. "But, amore mio," Cesare says, sitting up to look down seriously at Jafar, "we do have a big issue that we need to deal with." Sitting up in alarm, Jafar asks, "What's wrong?" "That water was disgusting. We really need to shower and probably change these sheets." Bursting into laughter, Jafar tugs Cesare by the nape of the neck into a crushing kiss. "So rude," he teases, nipping Che's plump lip, "mocking me with such disrespect." Cesare shivers a little again, and it's not from cold this time. "Maybe you'll have to punish me," Cesare murmurs, a little shy. Jafar maintains a serious facade while he climbs out of bed before grabbing Cesare and tossing him over his shoulder. Surprise squawking quickly turns to giggles when Jafar playfully swats his ass. The sweet sound was almost better than the sex. Almost. Planting Cesare on his feet next to the shower, Jafar caresses his face tenderly. His Cesare was back. Jafar would go to all the therapy that Joe and Nikki wanted if it meant that he could keep hearing Cesare's laugh, keep seeing his radiant smile. He'd even deign to go to individual therapy if that's what it needed. Jafar had made so many mistakes during his long life, most notably accidentally consigning himself to imprisonment in a bottle, but his greatest mistake had been almost losing Cesare. He didn't intend to make it twice. The end.